Good morning. It is December the 20th, Monday morning. Welcome to another Advent devotional on the great Christmas carols. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning. I hope your day is off to a good start. I hope you're excited and looking forward to a Christmas Eve service coming up this Friday night. And then Lord's Day worship on the day after Christmas, on the 26th. Now, should I say this? I'm going to say it. It would be a shame if we were so busy celebrating Jesus' birthday on the 25th that we were too tired to go and worship him on the Lord's Day on the 26th. So plan now to bookend Christmas Day with Christmas Eve worship and then day after Christmas morning worship. That way, the evening before and the morning after, you can be worshiping Jesus around your Christmas celebration. Make a plan and a commitment to do that now. And if you got to pick one or the other, I'd go with the Lord's Day, the day after, as being the more important one to make it to. But we are doing a Christmas Eve service this Friday evening at 6:30, and we welcome you to come out. We will be live streaming that service, as well as gathering in person. It's a traditional service with a lot of Christmas carols, and we'll end by singing Silent Night by Candlelight. Hope you can make it for that. If you need directions to our church, you can find it on our Facebook page or on our website, foresthillpca.org. But today, we are here to look at In the Bleak Midwinter. And you might think, Pastor Jason, that's not a very biblical Christmas carol. It talks about winter and snow and ice, and that's not really what the weather was like when Jesus was born. And I know that. But once you get past those opening lines, this hymn, based upon a classic poem by Christina Rossetti, is full of beautiful truth and a stirring call to us to respond to Christmas appropriately. So let's pray. We'll also be looking, of course, at Scripture. That's the most important thing we look at. Luke 2, Matthew 2, Romans 12, Hebrews 13. We got lots of Scripture this morning. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you because you first loved us, and our hearts are yours because you've drawn us to yourself. We have gathered together this morning to study your word by your appointment, and so we pray that you would be with us, and that you would bless us, and that you would teach us. Teach us and lead us by your Spirit in your word, in your truth, and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. In the Bleak Midwinter. So this is, like I said, a poem by Christina Rossetti, 1872. It's right there in that Victorian period where lots of Christmas stuff was being done. Lots of our present-day songs and carols and traditions come from that Victorian period. And yes, the first verse of this Christmas carol is not really very biblical. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind bade moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone, snow had fallen, snow on snow, in the bleak midwinter long ago. We don't know exactly when Jesus was born. Say that right up front. We don't know Jesus' exact birthday. December 25th was chosen early in church history for a variety of reasons, but we don't know if that's really when he was born or not. Some scholars will tell you, yeah, he was probably born around that time, and that's why the church decided on that day pretty early on. But other scholars will tell you something different. We know that he was born, and we know that he was born in Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem. And we know that Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem doesn't get a whole lot of snow. You might be watching this and you live in a part of the world like Uganda or Australia, and you might be thinking, yeah, every Christmas time I hear songs about snow and it never snows here, or it's never snowing here around Christmas time. So that verse is not biblical. But the second, third, and fourth verse of this hymn are so wonderful that it's still one of my favorites, even though you can. I like snow. If you know me, you know I like snow and I like winter. So I do like the opening verse. I acknowledge that it's not biblical, but I think that what follows is so full of beautiful truth that it is worth singing and listening to this carol this time of year. Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. It's a powerful statement of the full deity of Christ and of his glory when he comes again. Enough for him whom cherubim worship night and day, breast full of milk and a manger full of hay. Enough for him whom angels fall before, the ox and ass and camel which adore. This humiliation. So on the 12th, not this yesterday, but the Sunday before, I preached on Philippians 2, which emphasizes the humiliation of Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave. This is a great picture of this God in heaven. He who was in the form of God, he who was God in heaven, came to a manger, came to a maiden, came to be born among us in such a low condition. Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim thronged the air. But his mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshipped the beloved with a kiss. I'm going to move these words up so you can see the last verse. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. That's the response to Christmas. And we're going to focus on that this morning as we look at Scripture. Here is the shepherd's response when the angels went away from them to heaven, into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds responded by going and telling Joseph and Mary and whoever else might have been gathered there. There probably would have been other family members gathered there around the manger, around the newborn baby. And they told them what the angels had said concerning this child, that this is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it's good news of great joy for all people. And so everyone who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This little baby is the Savior, is Christ the Lord, the Lord Messiah, the Messiah Lord that we've been waiting for all these years. Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They worshipped. They witnessed, they worshipped. That was their response to the coming of the Savior. They heard the good news. They obeyed the word from the angels. They said, let's go. Let's do what God has invited us to do. And then they told, and then they rejoiced, and they worshipped. So is that what we do when God's word comes to us? When God's word comes to us and tells us the good news of Jesus, do we believe it? Do we go to Jesus? Do we tell about Jesus? Do we worship God in Jesus Christ? Well, sometime after Jesus was born, wise men came from the east. And this is how they responded to the word of God and to what God had shown them. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So this is sometime later, after Jesus was born, maybe a year later. Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus are living in a house in Bethlehem, and wise men come from the east. They had seen the sign of the star, but they were off in the east, probably 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. And when they saw the star, which I'm sure appeared on the night when Jesus was born, they made their plans, they had to pack, they had to gather things, and they had to make that 1,000-mile-long journey. And they came first to Jerusalem, because the sign that they saw told them that a great king, the long-awaited king, was born in Bethlehem. There's a lot of speculation over exactly what that sign was. I don't want to get into that. I'll just say I've heard or seen just about all of the theories, and they're all somewhat interesting. Each one of them has a particular flaw with it. So I don't think, if God wanted us to know exactly what the sign was, I think he would have told us. I think we can just be content to know that these stargazers from the east, who may have been in a tradition in Persia of scholarship and belief that could be traced back to Daniel, when Daniel was in Persia. And they may have gotten even some of the Old Testament scriptures that Daniel and his friends would have had. They may have had that. And there is a scripture in Numbers from Balaam, who was a well-known prophet in the ancient world. We've actually found, archaeologists have found Balaam's tomb. But Balaam made a prophecy, which is recorded in the book of Numbers, that a star will rise in Jacob's house. And maybe they saw that star and knew it because of the scripture that they had access to, or the prophecy of Balaam that they had access to. We don't know for sure. But we do know how they responded. They came. They went on a long journey, and they brought expensive gifts. They came. They sought out. They found. They worshipped. They offered their best. What a contrast that is to the religious scholars. Here are pagan stargazers from Persia, probably. And they are being more obedient to the word of God than the religious professionals in Jerusalem. The religious professionals in Jerusalem, they knew the scriptures. They knew where this child was to be born. They never went looking for him. They never honored him. They never worshipped him. And later, when he would come into Jerusalem as an adult man, they tried to silence him. They tried to sideline him. And finally, they crucified him. Listen, this is important. It doesn't matter how well you know the Bible. It matters how much you love and respond in joyful obedience and faith to the God of the Bible. Knowing the Bible really well doesn't make you a better Christian. Loving God, loving His Word, receiving His Word by faith, and responding in faithful obedience is what matters. And that's a work of the Spirit in the heart. Some of the greatest Bible scholars, some of the men who have known the Bible best in history, have been unbelievers. And they've studied it well, and they knew it inside and out, but they didn't believe it. So it matters more if you believe and if you respond. And these wise men, they were wise because they came and they worshipped. How are we to respond? Well, we're told in Romans 12 and Hebrews 13 exactly how we are to respond to the coming of Jesus into the world. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to belong to God, body and soul, in life and in death, purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ at the cost of his blood on the cross. We are to belong to God entirely, entirely. And we are not to be conformed to this world or any of its patterns, but we were to be renewed, transformed by the renewal of our mind, which is through the Word of God and through prayer, through worship. And Hebrews 13 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Two sacrifices, two gifts that we offer in response to Jesus' coming. The praise and thanksgiving of our lips and the generosity of our hands to those who are in need. That's what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. We worship God. We tell of him. We give thanks to him. We acknowledge him. And we give and we share. So, this Christmas, let's not just be nostalgic or enjoy the beautiful music. Let's respond to the Word of God in faith and in loving obedience, in a living sacrifice of praise and doing good to others in the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to listen now to In the Bleak Midwinter. This is a recording that was done by Susan Boyle. It's a beautiful rendition of this song. And we will listen to it and sing along in your hearts. You can sing along out loud if you want to. And let's worship God together. Beautiful hymn, beautifully sung by Susan Boyle. And I really appreciate it. Mary Erickson made a comment on Facebook, and those of you on YouTube, I want to make sure that you see it. She says she loves this carol, and that it always, the opening lines about earth's third heart is iron, water like a stone, have reminded her spiritually of the condition of the world before Jesus came. Cold, dark, hard. And that's a beautiful way of looking at it. So Jesus comes into a cold, dark, hard world with the warmth and the light of his love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, shine the warmth and the light of the love of Christ into our hearts today, throughout this Christmas season and into the year to come. Warm us by your love and help us to worship you in response, in spirit and in truth, in joy and in obedience. For you are the one who has called us and saved us, and you are the one who is worthy of all glory. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we will be back here one more time on Wednesday morning. We're not doing one on Christmas Eve in the morning because just too much. That'd be too much. So Chris, on Wednesday in the morning, we're going to do Silent Night, Joseph Moore and Hans Gruber, great classic. And then we will gather together on Christmas Eve in the evening. If you're able to make it, even if you can't come out in person, you can watch the live stream of that. We'd love to have you worship with us, either in person or virtually. Or go worship at your own church on Christmas Eve. It's always a wonderful time to worship Jesus. Have a blessed day in the Lord.